good to be back. We're not quite 100% there technologically, and we'll explain the story in a minute, but after a week's absence, we're back on Central Region Now, I can't even say it anymore, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. Hi, friends. Rob Witham here. Oh, my goodness. Late Sunday afternoon, I believe next Sunday at this time, we're going to be enjoying a much longer daylight hours situation. It'll be turn the clocks up Saturday night, and oh man, sunset at almost 7:30. Oh, I can't wait. I so can't wait. We have one more week left in basketball season, and then we get back outside. Spring sports at the high school level underway a week from Monday. Really looking forward to that. But we've got some championships to hand out this coming week. And here on the podcast, we have a lot to get through and talk about. And we'll start with high school basketball. As it's been a crazy week of state quarterfinal action, despite the threat of snow that we had late Thursday night into Friday morning, we were able to get the quarters in. From Thursday night through Saturday night, and the semifinals are set. So glad we didn't have to worry about postponements and rescheduling and things like that. That would have been a pain, folks. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. That would have been a pain. And I know that the people up at the Virginia High School League office in Charlottesville are 10 times happier than we are about everything working out for the best when all was said and done. There will be 8 Richmond area metropolitan teams that will play for Virginia High School League state championships coming up beginning on Monday with semifinal action at the Siegel Center. So 8 out of 15, 8 wins, 7 losses at the state quarterfinal level for teams here in the RVA. Would like to have seen a lot more make it to the semifinal round, but some came up against some very, very stiff competition. But others were able to make it. One big upset of note that we're going to kick it off with, and that is a hail and salute to the Monacan boys basketball team. First of all, the postseason run they've had has been very, very, very remarkable. You know, they'd never been to the state tournament, the boys program. You know, the girls won the state title last year, and they're pretty much favorites to repeat this year. But here come the boys, and they do well in the Conference 20 tournament. They do well in the regional tournament. They clinch a berth into the states. But they had to go on the road, and they had to play the number one seed over on the other side of the bracket from the West region. That being Loudoun Valley. How ironic it was that it ended up being Monacan Loudoun Valley in both state quarterfinals, both boys and girls. The girls got to host because they were the top dog, and the boys had to travel because they were the 4th seed. And they head to JMU Friday night, and they do it. They pull off the big one, 57-55, the final score. And the Monacan boys will be the first Richmond area team to hit the floor at the Siegel Center on Monday. It'll be just before lunchtime, the scheduled tip time 11:45, where they will take on GW Danville in the state semifinal and with a shot to go to the state championship game on Wednesday. So congratulations to RJ Spelsberg, the head coach, to Darian and to Nick and to all the Chiefs on a remarkable accomplishment. If they don't go any further, they have made history at Monacan High School. And Monacan has every right to be so hyped because their teams are going to hit the floor at the Siegel Center Monday back-to-back. After the Monacan boys play in their state semi at 11:45 on Monday, then the Monacan girls will take center stage as they continue their quest of a back-to-back state championship. They defeated Loudoun Valley 73-50 in the girls' quarterfinal back on Thursday night at the Siegel Center. They get a rematch with Kings Fork from the region tournament at 2:00 on Monday afternoon. In a little bit, we'll talk about how we're handling our coverage schedule. We'll get to that momentarily. Right now, I want to look back at the games that took place in the quarterfinal round. Congratulations to LC Bird. They dispensed of Potomac Falls rather handily, 82-59 back on Thursday night, clinching themselves a berth in the state semis where they will take on Wakefield, and that's going to be on Tuesday. With a strong second half performance, Tuscarora gave them a little bit of, of trouble in the first half, but Highland Springs pulled away easily in the 5A girls quarterfinal Friday afternoon, 168-43, and they get a date with Jada Graves and Thomas Edison of Alexandria in a 5:30 p.m. semifinal on Monday. And out of all of the semis that we're going to be covering down at the Siegel Center, that one might be the most intriguing of them all. We saw Edison in action over at the StatVA.com Classic in mid-January. We had him live here on the RVA Sports Network. And I think that could be a very interesting matchup between the Springers and Edison coming up on Monday, at late Monday afternoon, again scheduled for a 5:30 tip. The fifth team. it's been a long week, folks. The fifth team to make it to the state semifinals. Congratulations to the Boyd sisters and Appomattox Regional Governor School, as they handled J.I. Burton without a problem on Saturday at Siegel. 57-21 the final, and they head now to the Thursday state semifinals. Remember, this year, VHSL reversed the schedule, as we knew that they would, just out of fairness. Last year, the 1, 2, and 3A schools played their tournament games on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 4, 5, and 6A schools got the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This year, it's been reversed. So 4A through 6A play Monday through Wednesday. Championship day will be Wednesday this year, not Saturday, for the higher classification schools. And 1A to 3A get Thursday to Saturday, with championship day being on Saturday. So if Appomattox Regional can get past Fort Chiswell on Thursday, they would play Saturday morning for a state title. 3A boys, we've got two teams still alive, and they are the Hopewell Blue Devils and the John Marshall Justices. Hopewell, no problem at Siegel Saturday night with Cave Spring, 65-42 to advance to the semis on Friday. And John Marshall, a great performance on the road at JMU, down a good part of the game, come back, and they win by 8 over Spotswood, the higher seed, 61-53. And it gets them a rematch with IC Norcom, the team that beat them back in the regional semifinals a week and a half or so ago. It'll be Norcom and John Marshall round two in primetime Friday night, 7:30, at the 3A boys state semifinals. Other teams in the area who will head to Siegel, we've got one more, and that's the Cosby Titans. The girls, they had to do it the hard way. They had to go on the road up to Fairfax and play Fairfax, not at their home, but close to it, at Robinson Secondary School. And they get the 9-point win, 53-44, and the Titans, looking for the three-peat, will get a date with Herndon Tuesday night in the state semifinals. Other teams from our area that we want to salute. I want to start with the Deep Run boys basketball team. What an effort on Saturday night up at Robinson Secondary School. They fall 2 points short, 50-48. I understand, you know, I had people talking to me about it, and we had a reporter up there as well, and there was some frustration in Wildcat Nation about the amount of fouls that were called against Deep Run as opposed to the amount of fouls that were called against Wakefield, especially in the fourth quarter when Deep Run was behind, but only by a few points, and they could shave it to one, they'd shave it to two, they'd get within a possession, they had a chance, and you know, there was a critical foul call on DeMontez Oliver in the final seconds, and despite a phenomenal performance by Georgie Pacheco in his swan song at Deep Run, they fall by two, 50-48. I have had so much fun covering that Deep Run team this year. They've been one of the most fun teams to cover in the metropolitan Richmond area, and sorry that they weren't able to make it to the Siegel Center, but a salute to Georgie and DeMontez. Oliver, he's headed to Campbell. Evan Clark, if my memory serves me correctly, headed to Lynchburg. Just some fantastic players on that team. Love the coach. Great job, guys, and job well done. Hold your heads high. You had a fantastic season. But in the 5A boys sector, it's L.C. Bird carrying the banner for the RVA as Coach Troy Manns and company head into the semifinals this week at Siegel. Also want to salute the Atlee girls basketball team. This is a team, and I know most of you probably did not follow them this year as closely as I did. As you know, not only do we do our work with the RVA Sports Network, but we also produce each week the sports section for the Hanover Herald Progress newspaper. So we do a lot of coverage in Hanover County. In fact, you know, sometimes people are like, why are you in Hanover so much? And the answer is that part of what we do is connected with that weekly publication. It comes out every Thursday, herald-progress.com online, herald-progress.com. If you live in Hanover County and you don't subscribe, shame on you. It's only 75 cents a week, and we promise we'll give you $15 worth of coverage for your 75 cents. You can either get an e-subscription online or get the paper mailed to you every Thursday. Again, just go to herald-progress.com to subscribe there electronically, or you can call the office at 798-9031, and you can subscribe there as well. Love for you to be a part of what we do in that newspaper each week. You know, I did an article on the Atlee girls when they came out of the Times-Dispatch tournament at 1-8, and, you know, it's Christmas Day, and they're all back at their individual homes. Their leading scorer, Ashley Weaver, is out with an injury, and they are 1-8. And there were games early on in December that they should have won that they let slip away. And that was even before Ashley's injury. And so the question would be, okay, you know, do you just let the season go and you just play out the string, or do you try to regroup and make something of the season? Well, they did the latter, because they ended up on a streak where they won 16 of their next 18 games before they fell in the playoffs at the regional semifinals and the third place game, and then they lost to Princess Anne this week in the state quarterfinal. But they ended up playing in March when they were 1-8 on Christmas Day. They ended up 17-13 when they started 1-8. And so my hat's off to Coach Michael Rawlings, to Ashley and Jennifer and the seniors at Atlee, Elise Armentrout, who will be back next year for one more season for them. Fantastic. One of the best inside players in the area. She is fantastic at what she does. Kylie Eastman at the point. It was fun to watch them rise from the ashes and say, you know what, we're not going to cash this in. We are going to do something with this season. And they did. And they ended up being the final Hanover County basketball team, boys or girls, left standing by a wide margin. So congratulations, Raiders. I know it was a tough end of the season with the three losses in the postseason. And I knew it was going to be hard with Princess Anne because we saw them give Highland Springs their only loss. But head held high at Raider Nation, you guys. You know, you could have packed it in, but you didn't do it. LC Bird, the girls, want to salute them as well. They had a game Saturday afternoon at the state quarterfinal. They fell to the Edison team that now gets Highland Springs on Monday. 51-40 was the final score. Angela Caraballo, though, went ahead. Oh, man, what an afternoon she had. 25 points, if memory serves me correctly. I don't have my notes in front of me here since I'm not at my normal location. But wow, that team, and we saw LC Bird several times this year. We saw them against James River. We saw them against Highland Springs a couple of times. We saw them at the StatVA.com tournament back in mid-January. Had them here live on the RVA Sports Network. Coach Waller and company always has that team prepared. No matter what the circumstance, no matter who the opponent is, she is by far and away one of the best coaches in this area. And to Angela and to the rest of the group, Kiki Williams, and I know if I start trying to name names, I'm going to forget people. I just want to salute them on a fantastic year. In a year where there was so much disparity in our area in girls basketball, you had Highland Springs, Monick, and Cosby. And then right below them on the next level, you had LC Bird kind of on an island unto themselves. They couldn't beat the big three, but they could beat most everybody else. And then you had everybody else. Bird put up a great run. And I would have liked to have seen them get one more shot at Highland Springs in the semis at Siegel. Unfortunately, that did not happen. But we salute the Skyhawks on a fantastic year. Also, credit goes over to the Cosby boys. Although they fell in the state quarterfinals Friday night to Battlefield up in Fairfax, 72-51. Also, a great season for them, Caden Najdawi and company. And I know there's somebody at the Citadel that's pretty happy of him right now and very proud as to what they accomplished. Speaking of accomplishments, man, the Petersburg girls. And I was sorry to see their season come to an end in the state quarters. Magna Vista defeated them at the Siegel Center Friday night and ended their season. But Petersburg, they were the number 4 seed in Conference 26. So they had to pull off an upset and beat the number 1 team in the conference tournament just to make the region. And then not only do they make the region, they're able to make all the way to the region final, get a berth to host a quarterfinal at Siegel. That's all out of the 4 seed in your own conference. Salute to the Petersburg girls on a phenomenal February and a great run in the postseason. Also, shouts out to the John Marshall girls. Man, we had John Marshall on RVASN the 1st of February when they were at Deep Run, girls-boys doubleheader. And John Marshall that night, I think, dressed 7 players. And I think for their state quarterfinal game down at Salem Friday night, they had either 6 or 7 dressed. You think about that. You go into that game knowing you have literally no substitutions. Now, you're looking at each other and going, this is it. And they still forged their way all the way to the state quarterfinals before they fell to Hidden Valley. Congratulations to the Justices girls. Also to Huguenot, who battled a lot of injury trouble this year. And they probably, with a full season, with everybody healthy, things could have been a little bit different. You know, the rhythm and flow and chemistry could have been different coming into the postseason, and they could have gone farther in the postseason. But for what they went through, for what they accomplished, a salute to the Falcons. Although they fell to the quarterfinals to William Fleming at Salem on Saturday, I want to congratulate Huguenot on a job well done. So here's where we stand, folks. This week, the epicenter of our coverage will be at the Siegel Center. If you go to Tournament Central at rvasportsnetwork.com, you will find everything you need to know about what's happening this week. The semifinal schedule is up. The information on tickets is up, including what a session is, what your $10 gets, how the VHSL will be clearing out the Siegel Center between sessions late in the afternoon. So if there's a game that you want to watch on Tuesday at 3:30, and then there's another game you want to watch at 7:15, you can't stay in the Siegel Center. You're going to be cleared out. You're going to have to pay for another ticket for the night session. We have information on how you can watch the games via the VHSL. It will cost you. I believe one subscription for a month for $9.95 will get you all the games this week. So, you know, if you're out of town or, you know, you can't get to the Siegel Center and you want to see some of your teams play, that is an option as well. If you think about it, that's a little bit more than how much it costs to park, and the same as it is for one ticket. So that may be an option you want to do. Now, there is an outside chance, and I do mean an outside chance, that we may broadcast on our YouTube channel, radio only, of course, as always, selected state championship games on Wednesday. We are working with the Virginia High School League on that. We have not received affirmative confirmation from them about that yet. So if you look on our website at Tournament Central, we say the following. We say, follow the RVA Sportsnet on Twitter, as there is a chance we may air internet radio coverage of selected state championship games. If that happens, it'll be on our YouTube channel, and we have a link to our YouTube channel there. And if we do that, it would be Wednesday. And if we do, of course, we will flood Twitter with links and give you all the information you need. But we will be on Twitter all week long. I will be at the Siegel Center part of the week. Our Taylor Luck at Taylor RVASN, hopefully he is back up and ready to go. He was scheduled to help us with the state quarterfinals and fell very ill on Thursday night. And frankly, has been out on Thursday morning, I should say, and has been out of commission for the last few days. So we're hoping that he's going to be A-OK for later on this week. But if you go to RVASportsNetwork.com and look at the top of the page, Tournament Central, you'll see the schedule for Monday. You'll see the schedule for Tuesday. Those are the five games that involve Richmond area teams in 4A through 6A. And then you'll see the schedule of the championships on Wednesday. All five that could include a Richmond area team. Following that, you're going to see the area teams from 1A to 3A, which are Appomattox Regional Governor School Girls. They'll play Thursday. And then the two 3A boys semifinals, Hopewell will play Northside at 3:45 on Friday. John Marshall gets Norcom again at 7:30. And then, depending upon who may win those semifinals, the 1A Girls Championship at Siegel Saturday is at 10 a.m., and the 3A Boys Championship is at 8 p.m. Now, I know in past years, basketball games on Saturday, the state championships, have been shown usually on Fox Richmond's My Network TV affiliate. We've not been able to confirm whether or not that's going to happen again this year. But if it does happen, it could give you a possibility of watching either Hopewell or John Marshall, or if they both win, you'll see both of them playing each other for a state title Saturday night at 8. Maybe you'll be able to watch it on cable. Don't know. But if when we get that information, we will let you know. But everything you're going to need to know for all eight teams at the state semis and championships this week is at Tournament Central. So go now to rvasportsnetwork.com. And at the top of the page, you see Tournament Central. It'll say Tournament Central State Basketball Semifinal and Championship Schedules. Bookmark that page. And then go back to that page all week long. That's where we're going to update finals. That's where we're going to update schedules and tell you who's playing who. That's going to tell you whether we have broadcast rights or not. It's also going to tell you what Twitter feed on our network to follow for live updates from Siegel. So I can't tell you, can't stress it enough. Go to rvasportsnetwork.com right now and bookmark Tournament Central at the top of the page and stay with it all week long for everything you need to know about the state championships. And then that will conclude the basketball season, with the exception of we do plan on March the 19th to be down at Richard Bland College that night for the annual 804 All-Star Game. And RBA Sports Network proud for the first time this year to have been a part of the voting for the two teams. And we look forward to being there at Richard Bland Saturday night, March 19th, a week from this Saturday. And we'll have Twitter coverage of that game for you. You know, might even broadcast that game. We'll talk to the 804 folks and see if they don't mind that possibility. So who knows? We'll keep you posted on that. But we are happy to partner with the gang at 804 All-Star Game. And we'll be at Richard Bland College on Saturday night, March the 19th. While we're on the subject of broadcasting, let me look ahead and just tell you really quickly about the return of the high school game of the week now that spring season is upon us. If you've looked at any of our websites, including rbasportsnetwork.com, you look on the right side of the page, you'll note that we already have two games scheduled. Our debut is a week from tomorrow. Next Monday night, March 14th, we'll be at Atlee High School when the Raiders host Midlothian. First pitch, 6 p.m. We'll hit the air at about 5:55. And that's the first of our Game of the Week series throughout spring sports season. We'll be doing baseball, softball, and other sports as well. On Tuesday night, April 5th, it's listed that we are going to be doing the rivalry again of Cosby-James River. We'll be live at James River High School on Tuesday, April 5th at 6 p.m., live again on our YouTube channel. All of our games are heard live on youtube.com/RBA Sports Network. We can add another one to that list that has not been officially posted yet, but we were able to confirm late this week while we were down at the Richmond Coliseum that we will have, and we are really looking forward to this game, on Tuesday night, March 22nd, it will be 5A state semifinalist Douglas Freeman hosting defending 4A state champion, but now in 5A, the Glen Allen Jaguars. Now, with the switch over to the Colonial District, Glen Allen and Douglas Freeman are now district mates, which means they'll play twice a season in the regular season. They're both in Conference 11, so they'll be fighting it out with Deep Run and Mills Godwin and others for the two slots to get into the regional. So Glen Allen, Douglas Freeman, the two games they play in the regular season, they could be huge. And we've got the first one for you live from Douglas Freeman High School, Tuesday night, March 22nd, first pitch, 6 p.m. The game of the week will be there live on the RBA Sports Network. So we'll get that posted and added to our broadcast schedule. We'll be adding more games. We've got several softball games on our radar, including some late afternoon games down in Chesterfield and some evening games, especially up in Hanover County. Hanover County has been the epicenter of softball the last few years. Since Cosby defeated Patrick Henry back in 2012 for the old group AAA championship, in 2013, Atlee made it to the state quarters. In 2014, Patrick Henry made it to the state semis. In 2015, Atlee and PH played each other in state semifinal action. Atlee won, and then Atlee won the state championship the next night over Hickory. Atlee has everybody back except their second baseman from last year's championship team. Patrick Henry, they lost their starting pitcher, who's now at Randolph-Macon, and their starting shortstop, who's now at James Madison, who's ranked, 10th in America right now. But they've got some young talent, some super young talent coming in, so we can't count Patrick Henry out from making a run. And, of course, their new head coach is the legendary Walter Pettis, who's been an assistant there for the last several years since retiring as head coach after an incredible run at Mills Godwin. Tom McIntyre takes over for Atlee as the new coach after Coach Early retired after the state championship last June. Lee Davis only loses Lauren McIntyre. Now, that's a big loss, especially at bat. She was their shortstop most of last year as she spelled that position need while Kylie Stonebreaker took over in the circle, and she's back for her senior year, a commit to the University of New Haven in Connecticut. And Lee Davis finds a shortstop and some potent offense to replace Lauren's bat, and they are a state championship contender. And down in 4A, Hanover is always in the region, and they were the only team last year to beat Atlee twice. Atlee won the state championship, but Hanover beat them in both of their regular season games. They were 2-0 against the eventual 5A state champions. So we'll have a few games involving those teams live on the air as well. Really, really looking forward as spring sports will begin Monday night, March 14th, and our first game of the week is that night, Midlothian at Atlee Baseball. It'll be the Trojans and the Raiders, Monday night, March 14th, 6 p.m. Hope you'll join us on YouTube for that. Okay, get away a bit from high school for just a few minutes to give you some thoughts and news and notes about some other things going on. Congratulations, even though it was a heartbreaking loss Saturday night to Dayton, in Dayton. You know, VCU still finishes in a three-way tie atop the Atlantic 10 in men's basketball. I know. Trust me, I know. You go 11 of 23 at the free throw line in regulation. And that was the glaring omission. It stuck out on the stat sheet like I don't know what. You know, you go 14 of 23 and you win the game. Heck, you go 12 of 23 and you win the game. You don't go to overtime. So, and obviously when you get to the tournament, you know, you've got to make free throws. If you're struggling a bit at the line, don't be shooting 48%. You know, shoot 68% and then hit a couple of extra threes or get some good defensive stops along the way to cover the sin. But when you have such a multitude of sin, you know, frankly, they were lucky to be in overtime on the road at Dayton in such a hostile environment. So, but still, congratulations to Will Wade and the crew for being 14-4 in the conference. Remember, they were 5-5 at one point just before Christmas. You know, they've only lost four games since Christmas Day. You know, hearkening back to what I talked about with Atlee girls basketball a little bit ago. VCU's been on a heck of a run, and now we'll see if they can keep it going at the tournament. As the 2 seed, they'll get the winner of the semifinal that involves the 7 and the 10 seed. The winner of that game in the second round, they'll get them in quarterfinal action, and that should be on Friday. Now, Richmond will start their tournament on Thursday in the 8-9 game against Fordham, and they're coming in kind of stumbling. And they need a few wins, even if they, you know, they don't make a magical run and win the tournament to get an NCAA bid, and even if they're not able to get a postseason bid once this is done, and they still may, they got to finish at 500 or above to do it. Monty Buckingham and Nick Sherrod are coming in at a good time because they're losing some good seniors, and that program is in a bit of a snafu right now, and they need a jolt. They've got some great young talent. And they just need kind of, I don't know if they need a reset or what, but we'll find out. They're in a similar situation that the Richmond women are, and that gives us our segue into our coverage of the Atlantic 10 women's tournament this past week. Richmond suffered from the injury bug this year big time. You know, Coach Michael Schaefer will tell you that, you know, by mid-January, they were basically having to reinvent who they were as a basketball team based on the bodies that were left on the bench. And that is so hard to do. And they put together some good wins in the regular season in the A-10 and some very good performances even in defeat. They never stopped battling. And, you know, coaches will talk to you all the time about effort and execution. You know, you coach execution, but you can't coach effort. The players are either going to give it to you or they're not. And Richmond doesn't, they're not hampered in the effort category, neither on the men's side or on the women's side. And Michaela Parson put on a show on opening night at the Richmond Coliseum Wednesday night. 33 points for Michaela in that win over Davidson. That got them into the second round against VCU. VCU won that game, ended up advancing all the way to the semis, and we'll talk about VCU in a moment. But, you know, Richmond definitely has building blocks coming back with Parson, Hubbard, Carly in the middle. Get some players back healthy. You know, we'll see how they do from a recruiting standpoint. But I will also say that I watched every Atlantic 10 basketball team this week. I saw all 14 of them. Some of them three times. And the level of talent in that conference, and this is the third tournament that I've covered here in Richmond, the level of talent in the conference is rising precipitously year by year. It's getting better and better. And if you are not getting talent better and better on your squad, you're going to fall behind. And I know that I believe that's a struggle for several teams in the conference right now. Dayton had an unusual year, but of course they also too got hit big time by the injury bug, but they lose in their first game to George Mason. They don't even make it to quarterfinal Friday. And Coach Jim Jaber was very, very blunt in the postgame press conference saying, you know what, we're going to look at everything in our program from our secretary to me. And I'm almost quoting him verbatim. Because you know Dayton basketball does not put up with that. That's one of the premier programs in the Atlantic 10 and frankly in the country, and they made that run to the Elite Eight only to lose to UConn one step away from the Final Four last year, and they were very competitive with UConn last year. But they lost a lot to graduation, and then they lost a lot of key players to injury. And so Dayton gets healthy, they reload, and they should be okay. Hopefully Richmond will have a good recruiting class and they can get healthy, and they too will be more competitive next year. Hats off to Beth O'Boyle and VCU. They will likely get a WNIT bid in this Coach O'Boyle's second season with the team. It'll be the second one in 3 years, because in 2014, before Coach Sanders headed up to Minnesota, VCU in Rahman Park's senior year got to the WNIT. But I learned something about Coach O'Boyle I didn't know this week during one of the post-game press conferences when she was hired to be the new coach at VCU. She came in, and before she met her team, she sat down and she watched 2 years, two full seasons worth of game footage so she would know her players. You think about that. You're talking 55 to 60 plus games, 40 minutes each. Do you know how long it would take to sit and watch all of those games? And to watch them, not just you're watching on TV because it's Saturday and it's your day off from work, it's your job, and you're sitting there intently looking at everything that your team is doing, and you're backing it up and rewatching and rewinding and watching and checking out tendencies and learning idiosyncrasies. And it's just amazing to me when I learned that that was the commitment that she came into before she ever met player one. She did that. And she has turned VCU 2 years ago. VCU was a team that was offensive-minded, and they relied on Rahman Parks. And they almost upset then number one Dayton in the tournament quarterfinals in 2014. Coach Sanders leaves for Minnesota. Coach O'Boyle comes in and begins the process of turning VCU into a defensive-minded squad. They're very deep. They're unbelievably talented. And they make it to their first ever A-10 semifinal before they run into the returning Jonquel Jones and George Washington. They'll go to the WNIT this year. It'd be great if they could host a first-round game at the Siegel Center. It would be even better if that happened, that everybody who goes to every VCU men's game. Could you go to one women's game, please? And do I sound a little ticked off? I do, because I've covered several VCU regular season women's games over the last few years. And I even covered one last year where it was at night following an afternoon game, and I walk into the Siegel Center, and there's a few hundred people there, and all the trash from the men's game still on the floor. And I'm like, this is what the women get to play in? I was very upset about that. You know, the VCU fans who set up, you know, Wade's World and Shakaville before that, And fine, that's great. That's incredible. You know, the big billboard on 95 that says 83 consecutive sellouts. I love it. It's great. Keep it going. But could you sell out the girls one time? Get to the women's game once. You'd be amazed at the athleticism of those ladies. They're fantastic. They did the university so proud by making it to the semis this week at the A-10 tournament at the Richmond Coliseum. If they get a WNIT bid and they get to host a first-round game at Siegel, and I don't know if they're going to or not, but if they do, I wish Siegel would be packed. I wish Ram Nation would show that they can support women's basketball once like they've supported the men 83 times in a row. I'm off my soapbox now. But hats off to Beth O'Boyle for the job she's done at VCU. The change and transformation in that program has been just really fun to watch over the last two seasons, and she's got them playing some darn good basketball. The tournament itself, we saw some fantastic performances. Not a lot of close games, but some great individual performances. Now, when we got to the last two games of the tournament, the second semifinal, Duquesne and St. Louis, two teams on the rise in the conference, was great. And then today, Sunday, as we record this, the championship game, George Washington Duquesne, was just wonderful. Some fantastic shooting for Duquesne, and then they get cold in the fourth period. They go 1 for 19. Part of it was that they went cold. They had made 11 three-pointers after three periods, and they missed every one they took in the fourth. But then a lot of it was then they went inside, and when they went inside, Jonquel Jones, if you don't know Jonquel of George Washington, you will know her because she'll be drafted very high coming up soon in the WNBA draft, and she'll be a pro this summer. She's 6'6". She's the player of the year from 2015. The reason why she's not player of the year this year was that she injured her shoulder January 20th, and she did not return until the tournament started here in Richmond this week. She missed the last, the last 6 weeks of the regular season. She got cleared early this week to return to action, and she returned when George Washington played in the quarterfinal against George Mason. She played in three games. She had double-doubles, I think, in two of them. She made the all-tournament team, and she never started. She was the sixth person off the bench. And you know, here comes GW with another shot at making a run in the NCAA tournament. She's so long. It's just, she is an amazing person to watch play basketball. She completely changes how your offense is in the paint and around the paint. And Duquesne just could not find a way to score. And they scored 5 points in the fourth period. And GW erased the deficit, got the lead by as many as six, and held on to win by three. Late, they got a turnover and some free throws, and Duquesne had a prayer. And they had a shot to tie it and send it into overtime, but co-player of the year, April Robinson, overshot it thanks to good GW defense. It wasn't she took a bad shot. It was GW's defense won the play, and it won them the championship. So hats off to George Washington for back-to-back conference tournament titles. They get the NCAA bid. Duquesne will certainly get an at-large bid. St. Louis is on the bubble, and by most indicators, St. Louis will probably not get a bid, which I think is a shame. I think they are deserving of one. I think the A-10 should have three. You know, some people are lobbying for St. Bonaventure to get one. I think they blew it when they lost in the quarters to VCU, when VCU, the 5 seed, beat the 4 seed, and they were one and done in the conference tournament. That pretty much digs your grave. But certainly the Bonnies will go to the WNIT, the Rams will go to the WNIT, and if the Billikens don't make the NCAA, they'll get the postseason as well. But my thanks to Tom Waterman, to Caitlin Bonner, and to everyone we worked with the Atlantic 10 Conference the last 5 days at the Coliseum. Been great following them, having our website up all season long at a10rva.blogspot.com, which we have a link to at rvasportsnetwork.com, where all season long we've kept you posted on news about the teams to get you ready for the tournament. And all of our tournament recap articles, which are posted at our website, also are posted at atlantic10.com. And we were very, very proud to associate and work with the Atlantic 10 Conference this past week. All right, my friends, that's going to do it for this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. This week coming up, going to be at the Siegel Center a whole lot, and I know many of you will be coming down to join us depending upon when your team is playing. Again, Tournament Central at rvasportsnetwork.com is where you go to get all the information you need. Tournament schedules, game times, ticket information, when a championship game is, if your team wins the semis, what Twitter feed to follow for live updates if you can't make it to Siegel, where you can watch online for a fee through the VHSL. All that information, again, at Tournament Central at rvasportsnetwork.com. Bookmark that page and refer to it often on your tablet, your smartphone, your laptop, your PC, all throughout this week as we get you set to crown state champions in basketball and say goodbye to what's been a very eventful winter high school sports season. We'll keep you posted, too, on tournament action up from the A-10 men's tournament at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn as VCU and Richmond get set for action. VCU will be in action starting Friday. Richmond at high noon on Thursday. All right. Thanks for being with us, friends. Central Region Now, an exclusive presentation of the RVA Sports Network, solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. And any rebroadcast or other use of the podcast without express written consent of HCS Media LLC, who, by the way, is my wife. And you don't want to cross my wife, is strictly prohibited. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for joining us on Twitter. Don't forget, follow us wherever you are. Our main network feed is the RVA Sportsnet. That's at the RVA Sportsnet, where we cover sports throughout RVA. And then, of course, our area feeds, if you are in the suburban areas, at Hanover Sports, at Chesterfield Sports, and at Henrico Sports. Have a great week, everybody. I'll see you down at the Siegel Center. And as always, we'll see you on the sideline.